As far as Shruti movement is concerned, once I wrote a short pamphlet and tried to put everything in a small gist form. And that I have got available here, Shruti. And it's an interesting paper. I think it's also good for distribution among the non-Ahmadi. Where is it? Could J.P. Sir is here? No. You know, there is under one cover various pamphlets and small booklets which I had published during my tenure in Kharkhijadi. Particularly, meet the anti-Ahmadiyya propaganda, hostile propaganda launched by the Maulvis. And one of the questions was about the Ahmadiyya role in the subcontinent regarding important issues concerning the Muslim nation as such. In one of those papers, there is one about Shruti. And I asked them to send me the whole package and then sent me some lines somewhere else. So some of those papers could be republished, I think, and they should also be translated into some other languages. Nowadays, particularly, when they are making the false propaganda about them is being disloyal to the cause of Islam, Al-Qulam, Ghalib. So there are two good examples, Shruti and Khilafat Movement and some other. Kashmir movement also is mentioned there.
Find out.
Thank you for reminding us about this. You know, in short, I can just tell you what happened. During Shruti, in an area in India, some Hindu Rajputs had been converted centuries before that time to Islam. And that area is called, because of there being a Rajput majority, perhaps the entire area is populated by Rajputs, that's called Rajputana. Those people were converted by some dervishes who could not educate them in Islamic ways of life. So, practically, as far as their culture went, they remained Hindus. All their behavior, their system, their meetings, their marriage ceremonies and rites, everything was almost Hindu. Yet, in name, they were all Muslims. They called themselves Muslims and they performed the religious rites as Muslims. That is, about death, about birth, and one or two occasions in life. They required some mullah, some sort of ceremony with help. And marriages. So the Hindus thought it was a good occasion to convert them back to Hinduism. And they started a movement which was called Shruti movement to purify the ex-Muslims and bring them back to the ex-Hindus and bring them back to the fold of Hinduism. When this news reached Qadian by some stray informer who said that I went there and I saw this happening, Hazrat Ulifkar Mukhisani was deeply moved against it. And he declared that we are going to launch a war against this movement of Shruti. And he asked Ahmadis to devote their lives. And then, every people from every walk of life, lawyers, doctors, and teachers, professors, and the laborers, the educated, the uneducated, all alike, they offer their services. The conditions laid down were simply this, that you have to shift for yourself, support yourself, and only you have to abide by the instructions of Jamaat Ahmadiyya as far as teaching them goes. But your responsibility will be your responsibility. Your time would be asked. That was the condition. So they went there and also in detail they were instructed later on that they are not to accept hospitality even if insistently offered by the local people. Because some other Muslims had heard of this and they sent their mullahs, who know what sort of background they have, particularly regarding food. So they started becoming burdens on these people, and they expected halwa and chicken and things. And those people were very poor. The whole area, which was Muslim in Rajputana, was a rather backward and poor area. So Hazrat Muslim was ordered that you must not accept anything at their hands. Instead, if you can afford to give them alms personally, go and help the poor. So Jamaat-e-Ahliya launched a movement, and also appeals were made by other Muslims. And when they heard particularly that Jamaat-e-Ahliya had occupied the field, so they became jealous, and frantically they made every effort to fill that area with other Muslims. The result, whatever it was, is a long story, I'll leave it out. But this is the, in nutshell, what Shuddhi movement was. Ultimately, law and order situation arose there, and the government of India had to interfere, and they brought about, tried to bring about a reconciliation between Hindus and Muslims. The result was that a conference was held under the auspices of British government in Delhi, in which, because of the non-Ahmadiyya Muslim majority and their exception to invitation to Ahmadiyya, the government of India did not invite Ahmadiyya community to participate in that reconciliation conference. All the other important sects among the Muslims were invited. Hindus and Aryans, particularly, who were the leaders in that movement from Hindu side, they were invited, and the conference was held. So the Hindu leaders got up and said, "You want us to reconcile with those from whom we have nothing to fear? Who are not our adversaries, they are doing nothing there. The ones we fear, the ones who are their adversaries, they are not here. And they are Ahmadis. So no reconciliation can be reached unless they agree to it, because if they continue working, the problem will not solve for us. It will be that if we agree to this, whatever conclusion is reached here, agreement is reached here, the Ahmadis will be free to work on single-handedly, one-sidedly. So the problem will remain hanging in their favor, not in the Hindu's favor." This objection was raised so strongly, they said, no point in holding any conference without Ahmadiyya. And the British government had to send a telegram to Hazrat Muslim Maud hurriedly to send some delegation, otherwise the conference could not proceed. So, Hazrat Sahib sent some delegates and an agreement of some sort was reached. The comments made by the Hindu papers in those days are a great tribute to the Ahmadiyya movement in Islam, and some of them I have quoted in that small complex, Shuddhi and Jamaat-e-Ahliya. So they are worth reading. And Khilafat movement is also a long story, better leave it up to the time.